If all you're doing is going to church and you're not in your Bible, it's not enough. If all you're doing is going to church and you have no prayer life, it's not enough. You're going to love God and you're going to love church, but you're also going to love your sin because it's not enough. With all of this, Israel still struggled and complained. So God said, you need more. So God gave them the tabernacle. And in the tabernacle, he gave them the brazen altar. Now, the brazen altar, even though we see this as this large 5-cubit by 5-cubit altar, sometimes we forget the purpose of this altar. So this would represent the campfire, even though it's much larger than this campfire. It would represent the campfire. That's Israel's bonfire. This is Israel's campfire. I want you to go to the next screen, and I want to show you what happened around this brazen altar. So I want to show you, I put this red line on there today to separate this. And here's what I want you to understand if you don't know this. There was a place that Israel had to come and ask questions. They had to come and learn. And so this was the place. You have the Holy of Holies. You have the middle court. You also have all of this room around where they the storage areas where they brought in the animals. But see where that red line is? That was where families gathered in this particular area and brought their altars as brought their gifts as a family. It is also where the priests gathered and taught them the laws of God. So when they would come to sacrifice their gifts, they were getting instructions from the priest. And the thing about the campfire does not work unless you can ask questions and get answers. It does not work. It is not a classroom where somebody's talking and they dismiss you and you go home. It's not the same. That's that. If you cannot have a conversation, and how many of you know a conversation is two ways? Conversation is not one person talking and one person listening. A conversation is a place where I have questions and I ask my questions and I get answers. That's what this was. Israel would come to the tabernacle to bring their animals. You know what they did with the animals after they were sacrificed? Have you ever stopped to think about this? They took them home and ate them. It was like a big barbecue. Certain parts of it belonged to the Levites. They left all the pieces that the Levites got, but they didn't get the whole lamb. They didn't get the whole bull. They didn't get the whole ram or the goat, whatever they brought. No, the families took these back home and ate the holy meal. That's what kept them purified and healthy in the wilderness. They were eating the sacrifice meat, and then they were talking about the lesson they learned at the altar. Because you have a priest out there saying, now let's go over the law of Moses. Do you have any questions about the Ten Commandments? I mean, Moses, did you ever think Moses didn't just stand up on a rock and say those things one time and everybody got it? No, they had to reiterate it. Israel is notorious for repetition. They sang about it, repetition. They say it over and over. The children learned about it. That's why he said that when you love the Lord your God with all your heart, he said, put this on your forehead and tie it around your wrist and talk about it with your children. So what they would do is they would learn something about God's laws, take it home, prepare a feast, eat the sacrifice meal, pronounce the family clean, and talk about what they've learned. They had a bonfire and they had a campfire. And then finally the Lord said, I want you to have something else. So he gave them the menorah. And the menorah was a place where the priests went in a private place with the Lord and worshiped the Lord. So this is church. This is my group or my class or my Bible study. This is me and God, my personal time, my personal devotion. Let's keep going. So that's the children of Israel. Now, in the ministry of Jesus, you see the very same thing. In the ministry of Jesus, by the time it got to the time of Jesus, Jesus was using the synagogue as the bonfire. So the synagogue was the place where everyone gathered and worshiped. That was the bonfire. The campfire is how he set the world on fire. Jesus did not train his disciples there. Or here, Jesus trained his disciples here. This is where they got discipled, and then Jesus had his private time, his alone time with God. We would go off by himself and pray. So the way Jesus used the synagogue is that's how all the disciples, every disciple that went out, they would go to a synagogue and teach in the synagogue. Now, I didn't come prepared tonight to tell you the seven scriptures that are read in every synagogue service, because there is a format to those scriptures that are read. But what I want you to see is that in the middle of the synagogue, there is two artifacts that are considered sacred. The first one is the Aron Kodesh. The Aron Kodesh is actually an ark for the Torah scroll. It's actually called the Holy Ark, or the Holy Sacred Ark is what that word literally means in Hebrew. So I showed you a real fancy one over there on the left, and here's a very humble one here. Both of those would work. It's according to how rich the synagogue was and how many people attended there and where it's located in the world. So they would go in there and they would take out the Torah scrolls, but they would take it from the Aron Kodesh and take it to the Bema. Now that word probably sounds familiar to you. So the Bema is something that replaced the brazen altar. I want you to show them the next picture of the Bema, and I want you to see what this looks like. There you go. Now this is a synagogue in London, so it's very, very fancy. But I want you to see in the middle of it something that would resemble, it's certainly not this by any means, something that would resemble a Catholic altar, but it's not. It's a Jewish Bema. Now the Bema, I want to show it to you in a different picture because I want you to be able to really understand what I'm showing you. Go to the next frame, if you will. There you go. So see this dome in the middle? That is a synagogue. The men on the bottom, the women around the top. Over there is the Aron Kodesh by the side, the cabinet, and then there is the Bema. The Bema is the place that you come to read scriptures. Now, how many of you remember the scriptures where the Apostle Paul said, tell the ladies to be silent and don't ask so many questions, ask their husbands when they get home. He was not forbidding women to speak in church, by the way. Because, I mean, that was contrary to everything else in scripture. He was not telling women they could not speak in church. This was a place of asking questions. And when you got all the men on the bottom asking questions, raising their hands because they're reading scriptures, they're asking questions. Then you've got all the ladies at the top yelling down asking questions. They said, wait a minute, you ask questions when you get home to your husband. Let him ask all the questions down here so we can hear everybody. That's basically what Paul was saying. So in this Bema, I want to show you one more in a modern synagogue because this one actually really shows you the depth of this. Now, this is the same size as the brazen altar. So the Bema inside, and this would be a real synagogue. So inside that synagogue is a Bema, and they take the Torah scroll and read from it, or one of the prophet scrolls, and they read from it, and it's a time where people can ask questions and get their answers. However, Jesus used this as a gathering place. This is how the disciples spread the gospel. It was a gathering place, and then Jesus turned the world upside down here. Jesus comes to the campfire. Go to the next screen, if you will, guys. He goes to the next screen and chooses this model of discipleship. Now, this is so important. You got to get this tonight. This is what's missing. This is what most Christians do not have. They have lots of this. They have lots of this. They have none of this anymore. They used to have it years ago. They called it Sunday school. And they don't have it anymore. It was a place where someone read the Bible to you or explained the Bible to you, and you raised your hand and you asked questions and you sat in a circle and you gave answers. You got the answers that you needed.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have four ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
This is what is missing in our young people's lives, and this is what is missing in most adults' lives as well, as they don't have a place anymore. I mean, imagine what would happen if every time I got up to preach, everybody started raising their hand and shouting to me, Dr. B, what did you mean by this? You know, you got one person who's hearing the Bible for the first time. They've got 100 questions. You got somebody else out there that read the Bible from a different version. They're asking, what version are you in? That's not what my Bible says. You got somebody else over here that's disagreeing with you because something they learned from their grandparent. They said, well, my pappy used to say it this way. And so you've got all this going on. There is a place for that. But we can't do that in hundreds of people. We can't do that in large auditoriums. But there is a place, there has to be a place for that. Jesus turned the world upside down by meeting with his disciples. Go to that next screen, guys, if you will. This is how he did it. Jesus turned the world upside down. Remember when Jesus would teach? He would get around a campfire at night and the disciples would say, by the way, what did you mean by that parable? Were you just talking about farming over there and fishing? No, I wasn't talking about farming or fishing. I was talking about fishing for men. I was talking about sowing the seed of the word. I was talking about, what did you mean? Why did you do it that way? Why did you choose that particular story? And because they could ask questions, Jesus was able to disciple them. So Jesus used that as a training ground for that. You know, I grew up in Sunday school my whole life. Now, I will be honest with you. I didn't always have good Sunday school teachers. I had some teachers that didn't even understand what teaching meant. They would just get in there and read it, and we would fall asleep, and it was like barely made it through it because they didn't understand teaching. Teachers that would get up and talk for an hour and dismiss a class, they didn't understand it either. Sunday school was not designed to be a lecture hall. It was designed to be a conversation. And this is the very reason that many small groups fail. The small groups that fail the most and the quickest are the ones that are lacking conversation, where somebody just gets in there and talks the whole time and nobody's getting it and they don't understand, I'm not even here to teach you. I'm here to set an example and create a great conversation that you will never forget. Leading a small group is about creating a conversation. The curriculum doesn't really matter as long as it's biblically based. You know, I led a small group one time that a lot of people questioned, said that couldn't have been a small group. It was a horseback riding group. It was. I love to ride horses. I had 5 horses. I had a barn, and so I would have guys meet me there on a Sunday afternoon, and we would take a sunset ride on Sunday evenings. And it sounds like, how was that a small group? Because I had a text feed, and every Monday morning I would send them a scripture and say, think about this all week long. This is what we're going to talk about next Sunday. And then we would have on that text feed, we would pray for one another and support one another. And then when we would get to the barn, while we're saddling up, we'd start our conversation. And all in that sunset ride, we would talk about the Bible. And sometimes we would get back to the barn and stay another hour just talking about the Bible because it was the conversation. The horse riding just got them out and got me out on a Sunday after I preached 3 times that morning. So it got me out too. But it was because of the conversation that made it work. You can work on bicycles and disciple people. It doesn't really matter what you do. You can have a cooking class, but if you just talk about cooking, you haven't discipled anybody. You got to talk about the Word of God. Everybody in the body of Christ needs a place. You need your people that you can sit with and discuss with. I wish and I'm praying that God will lay it upon people's heart to start having more Bible studies in your home again. I mean, we went through an era in Christendom where that was the key to the church. I mean, we called them college prayer meetings, all kinds of things. I mean, there were prayer meetings and there were Bible studies in homes. Living rooms were full all over the community of people coming together to talk about the Word of God. Tonight we're going to talk about this subject, and next week we're going to talk about this subject. It doesn't mean that you have to be a great teacher. If you can make a pound cake and put on a pot of coffee, you can have a great life group. If you can just talk about the Word of God. How many of you know that's true? It's about conversation, not curriculum. And that's where most of the body of Christ have missed the point. As they're trying to preach and teach all the time and show all their spiritual gifts off, when in fact we need to be stopping and listening and saying, let's have a conversation about the Bible. I'm struggling with this. Well, you don't have to, because Jesus has set you free and the person sitting next to you have already been freed from that. That is what the body of Christ looks like in a healthy way. And then finally you had the candle, and that was when Jesus went to pray by himself, and that's what that would look like. It was just Jesus lighting a candle and going off by himself to pray. See, let's finish up here. So let's talk about the church. We have this. We have bonfires. We have worship services that inspire. But how can we stand in the face of higher criticism? How can we stand in the face of liberal thinking and theories of evolution and people confused about their own gender, not even knowing if they're a boy? How can we stand against some of the things that our world is up against today when all we're doing is coming together and jumping and singing? And I love to jump and sing, so I'm not criticizing that. I'll be the first to jump and the first one to sing. And I love all of that, but this is not enough. This is wonderful, and it's necessary. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Listen, I love online church, but how many know there is a difference when you're in the presence of God and you're surrounded by God's people? I mean, there's just a difference. We can never get away from this. This is important. But what we're missing is something else. The campfire is missing in most people's lives. I'll tell you a story about a man by the name of Jimmy Breland. Jimmy Breland moved from South Carolina, from Walterboro, South Carolina, to Savannah, Georgia during the Great Depression to look for a job. The only job he could find is a job driving a truck for the Jewel Tea and Coffee Company. And so he was delivering coffee to restaurants and places around town, and that was his job that he found. Not enough to really get him ahead. Jimmy had an eighth grade education. He never became an officer in his church. He never owned a home. He never owned a car. The only car he had was the truck, and that's one of the reasons that he chose that occupation, is because it gave him a vehicle. He drove that old tea and coffee truck. But Jimmy had a burden because he grew up in a fatherless family. He had a burden for little boys whose dads were alcoholics or gone, and he wanted to help them. So he went to his church, which was a Presbyterian church in Savannah, Georgia, and he said, I want to start a Sunday school class for little boys on the streets. I want to bring them in. And they said, well, we just don't know if we can bring them in with our kids. We don't know if that's going to fit. He said, well, give me a room. I'll take them by themselves. Well, we don't have any rooms. He said, well, is there any place that's available? He said, well, how about the kitchen? Well, yeah, no one's using the kitchen during Sunday school. I guess you could have the kitchen. So Jimmy goes around town watching these children play and starts inviting them to this Presbyterian church for a Sunday school class. They would take a ride in his old tea and coffee truck, and they would come to a church kitchen, and he taught them the Bible. Now, those who were in his class say it was the most entertaining lesson you ever heard, because he turned spoons and forks into Bible characters, and he would beat on pots and pans, and he just used anything he could get a hold of in the kitchen as an illustration, and they would make music together, and they started learning. There was 25 boys in his group, and the only reason he stopped there is because he couldn't get any more in the truck, and no more would fit in the kitchen. He picked up one little boy who had an alcoholic father who abused him at the age of 5. And he went and told his mom, can I bring your son to my Sunday school class? And he said these kids range from 5 years old to 12 years old in this class. All of these are street kids. This little 5-year-old's little mother said, well, he can't even read. Well, that's all right. He don't have to read. We're going to have a good conversation. I'll tell him stories. Well, he hasn't even started to real school yet. How can he go to Sunday school? That's all right. This will help him get ready for real school. So at the age of 5, this little boy joined Jimmy Breland's kitchen Sunday school class at the Presbyterian church and started riding a coffee truck to church. And he stayed in that class for years. That man's name is Dr. Elmer Towns. That 5-year-old little boy. Now, you may know his name, or maybe you don't, but you probably have heard of the university he started called Liberty University. He is the co-founder with Jerry Falwell of the Liberty University, and is still alive and still on staff there today, because God turned a Sunday school class with Jimmy Breland with an 8th grade education and to a place that caused a little boy to fall in love with the gospel. Of those 25 little boys, 19 of them went into full-time ministry, and 12 of them went on to get a doctorate in theology of that one class. Give the Lord praise. That's an amazing story. All because somebody said, that's wonderful, but this can change the world. If I can mentor, if I can disciple, if I can talk to them, if I can answer their Bible questions and get them to a place of learning, then they'll find this on their own. And here's what I can say about this. We have no excuses here. We have podcasts. We have YouTube. We have books. We have everybody's got a devotional nowadays, right? I mean, you can get 5 minutes of heaven from anybody. We have this all day long, but this is not enough. And this is not enough when so many people need fellowship, accountability, and a place to ask questions.
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. Please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand His kingdom around the world.